Welcome to the Inside Mommy Athletics Podcast, where we bring you the pulse of the Panthers athletic scenes.
And I'm your host, Jeremy Schneider. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everyone for ordering one of our t-shirts from the Juke Mode Here for Good campaign. Your purchase will help me continue to do what I do with IMA, and it's also supporting the Athletic Booster Scholarship Fund. I can't wait to be walking around town and see a random IMA shirt. It's going to be a little trippy. One more announcement. The Athletic Boosters are in the middle of their annual mulch sale. Get your order in now, find the order form online, or find a Boosters member. The delivery date is May the 3rd, so get those orders in as soon as you can. Our guest this week is Maumee baseball coach Todd Erie. The Panthers finished tied for second last year in the Northern Buckeye Conference, behind eventual state runner-up Lake and tied with Eastwood, both of which appeared in the preseason state poll this year. Maumee had its own success last year, advancing to the district semifinals. This year, Maumee must replace 12 departed seniors, but they've also got some key pieces coming back from a year ago. Erie talks about starting the season inside and the challenges that presents, and how important it is to take advantage of the sunny days when they can. Why a strong youth and little league program means so much to the varsity team, and what to expect from the Panthers on the diamond this year. Here's my talk with Todd Erie. So the spring season in Ohio is really weird, and it's not something that's limited to just us. So we're in the same boat as everyone else, but it's difficult because you play an outdoor sport, you coach an outdoor sport, and the first few weeks are played indoors. Now, you may get a day or two here where you can get outdoors, but it's really, you start indoors. How limiting is that? How difficult is that? I mean, again, it's everybody's in the same boat, so it's not like you're at a disadvantage, but it kind of stinks, doesn't it?
To be honest, it's all I've ever known.
Well,
so
yeah,
it's, you know, we just know that when our season kicks off that we're going to be inside for 2 weeks, and we work within the, you know, the constraints or, you know, with what we have, right? I mean, having two gyms is that we can utilize is nice. Having two indoor cages is nice. Like I said, it's all these guys have really ever known,
right?
As far as high school baseball goes, so we plan accordingly. All of our practice plans are focused on getting as much installed as we can indoors. And to be honest, we can do just about everything inside. Now, it doesn't have quite the same, you know, the same translation necessarily. Doing, you know, taking ground balls off of a gym floor versus, you know, outside.
Right.
We can't. I guess the only thing we can't do is field fly balls. But everything else, I mean, we work on our base running, and we throw our bullpens, and we take our swings inside, and we work on our bunt coverages and our pickoffs, and we do it all. And there are some things that it's actually almost easier, or I kind of prefer to install indoors, just because, you know, it's a closed space. I have their attention. You get outside, you're fighting the wind and the elements, and, you know, squirrels running around and all that stuff. So there are times where, you know, if we're going to put something in, I almost prefer to do it in like a classroom, not necessarily a classroom setting, but in a controlled environment.
Right, right. Do you ever feel like the guys maybe get a little bored inside, or they get antsy, and you have to kind of battle that as well?
100%. You know, at the end of the day, they're 14 to 18-year-olds and doing the same thing over and over inside when you know you're supposed to be doing it outside. We have to fight that, and it's a big thing that we try to focus on, is coming in every single new day and pushing through some of the mundane things. You know, the first usually 2 or 3 days, there's a lot of just excitement because the season's starting, so there's not an issue there. But by the time you roll into week two, it you have to fight it a little bit. And we stretch our practices from 2.5 hours to 3 hours in that second and third week, because we add base running and some other things. So it's something we talk about every single day. We know that this stuff is, you know, a little boring at times, but push through it, right? And we try to we give them challenges, and we try to, you know, really push them to lock in for the time that we have them, and knowing that, you know, the light's at the end of the tunnel once Mother Nature cooperates a little bit with us.
I'm sure you've got to be a little creative too with how you do things.
Yeah, you know, within the space, you have to try to. I tell our coaching staff, if we try to do the same drills day after day, we're going to lose them. So we have to try to find creative ways to accomplish the same thing, but right. make it look a little bit different, right? Trick them into thinking that we're doing something fun and exciting, but really at the end of the day, we're working on being in a great fielding position or, you know, having great footwork, those types of things. So you just, you jazz it up a little bit and make it look different and exciting for them.
So when you get those nice days, when you get those days that are 50s and the 60s, you know, they may be few and far between, you have to take advantage of those days getting outside, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And we don't even wait until it's 50s or 60s. I've been known to be out there at 33 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a whole practice because right. you're going to get kids that start to, you know, they start to get cold and they start to get miserable. So we'll go out for an hour when it's 35 degrees if we can accomplish something out there. We'd much rather throw outside, right?
Sure.
That's just one thing that, you know, throwing in the gym is fine, but it limits what, you know, how far we're able to throw. You know, just being out in the fresh air is good for them. So we'll go out sometimes just to stretch and throw, if nothing else, and then we can bring them back inside. But, yeah, anytime that we have a window of opportunity, we're going to get out there and try to be – sometimes we have to be creative with the space out there because early in the season the field's soft and we don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, tear it up and get on it too early. So, you know, we'll move around a little bit, use some of the side fields. Occasionally we'll get out on the turf if, you know, if we're able to work, make that work with the track schedule and things like that. So it's all just about being creative and being flexible with what Mother Nature provides us and, you know, the spaces that we have access to.
So it doesn't just stop, the weather doesn't just stop when the season officially starts, when you start games. You know, again, this is something that everybody faces. You'll get rainouts, you'll get days when it's too cold, you'll get a variety of reasons why games get pushed. You guys are already in a condensed season. I mean, this is the shortest probably of all the seasons that we have, and you play maybe more games than any other season. How do you battle the early season cancellations, postponements, things like that, and then everything kind of gets backloaded? Again, it's something that you've experienced, the guys have experienced, but I'm sure it doesn't get any easier.
No, you know, it's just one of those things where I guess I don't know how the players feel about it. We're at Mother Nature's mercy
right.
in a lot of ways. When I create our schedule, I try to balance it, and I highlight days right away that possible makeup day.
Right.
And it's fairly unique in that we're, I think, one of the only sports that does our own scheduling. Like, I handle our schedule.
Okay.
Cam doesn't. So I know what it looks like, and I know where we can fit games in. But the reality is, as you mentioned, everybody is kind of in the same boat. And when we end up with a week straight of rain, we got to plug those games in, and ultimately every team is going to end up ripping off six games in 7 days or playing, you know, 7 out of 8 days. You're going to end up with a stretch there unless we end up with a perfect season, which I've never seen from a weather standpoint. So
right.
you just know that it's coming. And, you know, when we end up with those days where we can't get outside in the middle of the season, it's, you know, sometimes it's keep them fresh, maybe bring them in, get them some swings and get them out. Some days we, you know, try to keep things light, and we'll, you know, if we're in 2-3 days in a row, we'll do an indoor wiffle ball game and run some bases and, you know, talk plans for the rest of the week. It doesn't always have to be, you know, a 2-hour, 2.5-hour deal. You just, again, you're flexible with what things look like, knowing that it's a sprint and a marathon at the same time, because as you said, we play 27 games in yeah. like 7 weeks worth of space. So all of our practices, I would say probably 80% of our practices happen before our first game. After that,
right.
We'll hit a stretch where we'll have 10 games left and probably only have 6 practices in that stretch, or maybe even less.
Right.
So you try to get as much of the core details in and the fundamentals in place early and rep those. So, you know, when we have a day to get a practice, and we can brush up on those things, but otherwise it's, you know, trying to stay fresh and to just manage that gauntlet of a schedule, because it comes at you pretty fast and furious.
Absolutely, it does. So this brings up, I just talked to Brian Jones, softball, a couple days ago, and softball's at a luxury in this, that they can have one pitcher, and that one pitcher can pitch all game, every single game for them. You guys can't. You've got pitch counts. You've got a certain amount of days. And these are rules. Like, this isn't just, you know, rule of thumb.
These are written rules that a pitcher can only pitch a certain amount in a certain amount of days. So when you get to those 6 games in 7 days, that, I mean, and it's going to come, it's going to happen. How important is it to have a variety of guys who can go out there on the mound and not just fill in, but do well?
Depending on the season, it might be guys just you know, stepping up. And we throw a lot of guys early in our preparation for the season because you never know how many arms you're going to need.
Yeah.
You like to have at least 8 guys that have done it before and are, you know, confident in their abilities, and they identify as a pitcher. But sometimes you don't have that. Like, you know, this year we might be a little thin on experienced arms, so we'll have guys probably eat some innings this year that, you know, 2 years ago they would have said, no way I'm going to pitch in a varsity baseball game. But
right.
That's just the nature of it sometimes, that you got to prepare them for it. So today, you know, was a good day. We're inside. I had, you know, guys get opportunities to throw some bullpens, and just, you know, knowing that at some point, you know, I'm not going to, if you're not an experienced guy, I'm not going to ask you to go take the ball and throw 5 innings. But sure. If you can go eat an inning for us, you know, 1 or 2 days a week, it alleviates some of the stress on, you know, the experienced starters not having to necessarily go 7 innings every time they take the hill.
The Maumee Athletic Boosters meet the first Wednesday of each month at 7 p.m. in the High School Learning Commons. If you'd like to support the student athletes at Maumee High School and Maumee Middle School, you should consider getting involved. To find the full meeting schedule, find them on social media. We'll see you at the next meeting.
So when you get to those weeks with the experienced starters, with kind of your aces or the guys who really are the pitchers, do you have to get creative in when you throw them in those big, long weeks? How do you approach that with knowing I might not have the pitchers for this game and that might put us at a disadvantage, but I really need to save this guy for Lake, for Oak Harbor, for Eastwood?
Yeah, it's a bit of a puzzle, and I would imagine that all coaches approach it a little bit different, but I certainly look at our schedule week by week, and you circle some games, and
sure,
you want your best guys throwing on those days. But let's say a guy like Ben throws on a Monday, and then maybe we have a couple weaker opponents early the next week, and then we play, you know, Eastwood on Friday. I can't have him sitting around from Monday to the following Friday, so he's got to throw.
Yeah.
So sometimes the schedule just doesn't allow it to match up perfectly. And at any given, you're going to see somebody's 3 at any given point, just like, you know, other teams are going to see our number 3 or 4 pitcher. You can't map it out perfect, especially when you get into the rainouts and things like that.
Yeah.
But I try to be cognizant of trying to play some matchups that might favor us against stronger teams, especially earlier in the year, to get off on a good, you know, a good start to the league season anyway, and then things, you know, maybe become a little bit more fluid after that.
Sure. That leads us into maybe kind of talking about the roster, who we have. I'll start off with this. The last few years, you've had some really, really big senior classes. I think 2 years ago, wasn't it, like 10 guys?
11? We had 11 2 years ago, and then we graduated 12 last year.
So yeah.
Yeah, 23 guys in the last 2 years is a pretty big number.
Yeah, that is. And, I mean, these aren't just seniors that are eating space. Like, these are seniors who are good players, too. They're not just playing because they're seniors, because you feel an obligation to them. They're good players. Does it feel like, especially the last 3 years, each year you've come in that you almost kind of had to start over a little bit?
Yeah, to an extent, because, you know, when you have a roster of 11 or 12 seniors, you know, typically we'll carry, you know, between 13, maybe 15 guys on our varsity roster. And if you're graduating, you know, 3/4 of them, it's a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, it emphasizes the importance of our other programs, right, our JV program, preparing those guys because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, at the varsity level, we want our best guys out there. And that doesn't mean that the guys that are playing JV baseball aren't good ball players. Sometimes they have a lot in front of them. And you bide your time a little. And when it comes, you hope that they're ready to take advantage of those opportunities. And for the most part, we've really seen that, especially from 2 years ago to last year, right? We went from 11 seniors. We graduated that class, and we brought in a whole new group, and they experienced quite a bit of success last year. So it just shows that, you know, what happens at the JV level and even at the freshman level is really important for preparing them when their time comes as a varsity baseball player.
We've talked about this, about your coaching staff. Is this your first year that you've had a retention in the whole coaching staff?
Yeah, this is the first year that I've experienced continuity from the previous year to the next, which is hugely important, right? It takes a lot of anxiety, hesitation, nervousness away from it, because I know these guys know what I expect, mm-hmm. and vice versa. They know our language, they know the expectations, and the players know them. And having that, it's one less hurdle to have to clear, because when you bring in new coaches, you're not just getting the players ready, you're also having to bring the coaches along as well. And that's part of it, right? You're gonna have staff turnover, especially, you know, when you're coaching high school athletics, there aren't a whole lot of professions that allow people in the outside world that aren't educators to match it up with a schedule like we have. You know, we start our practices at 2:45. You know, most people are working for another, you know, 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
So having mostly a staff that works within the district is important. And then, you know, obviously having a guy like Buzz is about as invaluable as it could be. Just his experience, and I could probably talk for an hour on what Buzz brings to the program.
Well, I don't want to. That's exactly where I was going to head next. I don't want to call him out over, you know, Coach Barry or anybody else. But and again, this is something that we've briefly talked about. But a guy like Buzz, not only with his experience and what he's been through, what he's seen, but his relationship. Like every time you see a senior profile come through, and they say, who's your favorite coach? Who's the coach that made the biggest impact on you? 3/4 of the guys are saying Buzz.
Yeah.
And that's huge, because they trust him. They know him. Talk a little bit more about what he brings to the program and how valuable he is.
Yeah, he's not just been a staple to the Maumee baseball program, but the Maumee community in general, mm-hmm. right? He went to high school here, you know, he graduated, and he's been around ever since, and he's been involved in a lot of different capacities, coaching at the junior high level, coaching Little League baseball years ago, and just people recognize him, and they know his smile, and he's just very approachable. I have umpires that I'll run into at varsity games that'll say, is Buzz still coaching for you? And I said, yeah, he's got a spot as long as he wants it. So he's just such a calming presence. Yin and yang type of thing between me and him. I'm a little bit more, I don't want to say necessarily high strung, but
a little more fiery.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, we do things in a very different way.
Yeah.
And that's good for the guys in our program, because they get to experience, you know, different personalities and how to work with all different types of people. And, you know, I've never come across a former player that didn't have, you know, positive things to say about Coach Rothenbuehler. Like I said, we're blessed to have him in the program because of what he brings, and not just from a baseball standpoint, but because of the relationships that he builds and just, you know, making people feel comfortable and valued and all of those, you know, intangibles.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the roster that you have. It's another bigger senior class, not quite 11 or 12 guys, but there are, again, these aren't just seniors who are filling out roster spots. They're seniors who have been through it. They're seniors who have some talent. And then you look at down at the junior class. You brought up Ben. You've got the Cubitts twins. Talk a little bit about the roster and kind of what the strengths are, and maybe if you care to, talk about a couple of the guys in particular.
Yeah, so our senior class has 5 players in it. A few of them, three of the 5 have varsity experience. I think Carter Kepler had some varsity experience going back to the end of his sophomore year. He's the most experienced of that group, so he's been through it about a season and a half. And then Max and Gage both had opportunities last year at the varsity level to contribute a little bit. But this will be their first, real crack at it from start to finish. And then having Nick and Zach come up, guys that, you know, played JV baseball last year, and, you know, we kind of talked about the importance of that. So, you know, they're going to have opportunities, and we're excited for them to, you know, to get to showcase what they've put together over the last 4 years in the program. So, yeah, a little bit smaller senior class, but I would say that's probably, you know, when you think about it, I expect classes of 5 to 7.
Yeah.
We've just had those really large ones the last several years. And the class behind them, so the junior class, we have 10 guys in that one too.
Yeah.
So usually, you know, by the time they make it to their junior year, you kind of anticipate that they're going to be around as seniors. And a lot of those guys are going to be first-time varsity players, really with the exception of, the, you know, Ben and Will, the Kubitz twins. They obviously were both a big part of our success last year. We're, you know, excited to see, you know, them hopefully take another step forward and continue to, you know, help us in a lot of different ways. But we'll have some newcomers as well. You know, that with that junior class having 10 guys in it, we're going to get to see them on, you know, the big stage, so to speak, for the first time. And you never really know. You know, last year I couldn't predict how guys were going to handle varsity baseball for the first time. And, you know, you throw them out there and you hope that everything translates. And it worked really well last year, and we're hoping, you know, for more of the same this year. You know, contributions from, you know, from guys like, you know, Nate Durham, Tommy Parker behind the plate, Colton Crouch, I imagine is going to be kind of all over the place for us this year, Antonio Valadez. So we'll have some newcomers that they're going to get their first experience with it. And, you know, they've put in the work, and now it's their time to, you know, take advantage of some opportunities. So we're looking forward to seeing what these guys can do at this level.
Paper has been a supporter of IMA from the very beginning. If quality journalism is important to you, please consider becoming a subscriber. You can head to their website at themirrornewspaper.com to find more information on becoming a traditional print or digital subscriber.
It's always a big jump. Like there's these jumps that you take in athletics, and you go from eighth grade to high school, whether that's freshman or JV or whatever it may be. Can you talk about that jump specifically in baseball from JV to varsity? Because these guys are going to be facing really good pitchers, and they're going to be facing some defenses that you know, they really cover up the ground really well. What's that jump for some of these guys going to be like going from JV to varsity?
Yeah, I think as a staff, a lot of conversations that we have are based around, you know, will this player be able to handle varsity pitching? Because from a defensive standpoint, right, the game looks the same. You're going to get, you know, situations, ground balls, fly balls, whatever. You can field one or you can't, or you can catch it or you can't get there. The defensive part of it, usually you don't worry about the translation, but from a pitching standpoint, you know, that's where the best arms are. So the jump from, especially, I would say, especially in the NBC, there's a pretty big gap or a pretty big difference between varsity arms and JV arms. We didn't experience as significant of a range probably when we were in the NLL, because those schools are so big that they had guys playing JV baseball that were pretty darn good baseball players. You know, they have, you know, 2,000 kids in their school, and, you know, they're going to have arms. And it wouldn't be crazy to see a kid pitching at a JV program throwing close to 80 miles an hour. You're not going to see that in this league. So there is that question as to, you know, is this guy going to be able to make that leap from freshman ball to varsity ball or JV ball to varsity ball. And it takes time. Not everybody just, you know, jumps right into it and has success. You know, Ben made it look pretty easy last year. But we didn't know, right, coming in. I didn't know that he's going to come in and hit over 400 his first time seeing varsity pitching. And it's not that easy.
No.
He made it look easy, but there will be some adjustments. And these early season scrimmages and even those first 2 weeks of non-conference games are really important for getting those guys comfortable with changes in velocity and pitchers being able to throw up three different pitches for strikes, because it's a different ball game in a lot of ways when you make that jump from JV baseball to varsity baseball.
So how important is it to keep communication between you and your assistants with the coaching staff and these players? Because there's going to come a point, and again, you said it, Ben's the outlier. Ben's not the common one. There's going to be struggles for these guys. How important is it to keep that communication open between you guys and the players to say, hey, this, relax, you're fine, it'll come?
Yeah, it's part of, right, building those relationships, yeah, and establishing trust. We have conversations from when we start until this whole season is done, where we have guys in the locker, in our coach's office, and we're having those conversations to, you know, help them keep their confidence, let them know what our plans are, and, you know, trying to be as transparent as possible. But you never really know if a guy's going to be successful. But at the same time, because the season goes so quick, you have to be able to pivot if something doesn't work right away. But if a kid comes up and he doesn't have success right away, you don't want to, you know, toss him to the curb and say, you know, that's it. Sorry, you had your chance. How do you help them, mm-hmm, adjust and come along and make some changes? So there's a lot of conversations with the players, but also between me and Coach Rothenbuehler and Coach Barry, letting each other know what we're seeing. And if a guy is on our roster, the varsity roster, and he's maybe not getting regular at bats, but he's a junior or a sophomore, maybe it's going to be better for him to go down and play in a game or two just to see some live pitching, because it's not doing him a whole lot of good if they're sitting on the bench and not getting regular at bats. So it's a juggling act for sure. And a lot of it, you know, comes down to trying to get kids as many reps as possible and build off of their confidence and try to help them manage when inevitably you run into a little bit of a slump. I mean, that happens with every baseball player that I've ever seen. You're going to go, you're going to run into a stretch where, you know, you're 0-8 or you're 1-12, and doesn't mean you're not hitting the ball well or not seeing it well. Sometimes that's just how baseball works. But, you know, continuing to, you know, support the guys and give them the confidence that they need and find creative ways to, you know, to try to turn that corner and get them back on the right track is an important part of what we do.
So how important is it then not only to have the conversations between you and the players, but to have – every coach wants a player-led team, and I've heard this over and over again. The best teams coaches coach are those player-led teams. Do you have those guys who can this year who can step up and fill those leadership roles? Do you have those and how important is that to have those – have those leaders deliver that message to the guys who may be struggling? This is the first time up on varsity.
Yeah, I'll say this. We don't have a lot of really vocal guys, but that doesn't mean that they're not leaders. You know, it looks different, you know, depending on who you're talking about. You go back a couple of years ago and you get a really special kid, you know, like Sam Archambault.
Yeah.
And, you know, he used his words, and he was just, mm-hmm, he was natural with it. But even the last 2 years, really, we haven't had that type of leadership.
Yeah.
We have guys that are just leading by example, and they're supporting their teammates when they need a pick-me-up. And it's those type of things that you really look for. You know, I've had conversations with, you know, Mr. Kuchar and, you know, about building leadership. It's not necessarily something that comes natural to a lot of people. So you really have to work and, you know, and try to teach some of that. But right now it's, I think guys not necessarily being really vocal and, you know, demanding but doing things the right way and having others kind of pick up and follow their lead is an important part of this. And I think a lot of like just establishing routines helps that too. Our guys know what to expect. They know how we do things. You know, it's pretty second nature to them because from our freshman level all the way on up, we run the same system, right? We do our practice plans are the same shell, so they're comfortable with it, and that gives them confidence to be able to kind of take the lead and make sure that things get done when they need to get done.
We had a conversation during the youth camp about Little League and the importance of the Maumee Little League to what you guys do at the varsity level, and I think baseball is a very unique sport. You don't see this in football. You don't really see it a lot in basketball around here. Starting to get there in soccer, but these guys on the baseball team, a lot of them, I mean, if they're within a year or two of each other, they've played baseball together maybe for a decade by this point, going back to Little League or travel teams. How important is this Maumee Little League or the youth experience for these guys, and how does that impact what you guys see when they get up to the varsity level?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that a majority, you know, 99% of our players that come through here got their start in Maumee Little League or, yeah, you know, if another community, you know, doing similar things. And that establishes the groundwork for their fundamentals, for learning how to play as a team and learning how to play for your community. And our guys that had opportunities to play through Maumee Little League, I think that instills, you know, a sense of pride in playing for their school.
Right.
And baseball is unique in the sense that, maybe it's not unique anymore because we're starting to see it in a lot of different sports, but with, you know, things like club and AAU. But now kids are breaking away from Little League earlier than they would have 15 years ago,
okay,
because of travel opportunities. And not to get too far off topic, but I think that that's hurt to an extent. It's hurt Maumee Little League because if you look at their numbers from, I would say, you know, without knowing specifics, but if you looked at their numbers from maybe 12U up, they have to, I would guess that they're way down from 10, 12, 15 years ago because so many kids at that time, they're going out and they're playing a travel ball and they're not playing for, you know, Maumee Little League anymore. And I wish we could get back to that. You know, I don't know that that's something that'll ever happen. I always kind of joke that if I was made the czar of baseball, that I would kind of shift the focus back to town ball until kids were probably, you know, 12 years old. So they played together more. Now, some of these groups do, right? They end up playing for a Maumee Center travel team. So
sure,
that certainly helps. You go back a couple years and there was the group from, I'd be, what, 23, the 23 graduates, they played together with LJ for a number of years under, you know, under our colors, right? Maumee,
yeah,
baseball on the front. And there's a lot of value in that because they know each other, they trust each other, they're friends. And the more that that happens, I just think that that's such a positive thing. And then they have pride when they get here to put on the Maumee varsity baseball uniform. And to be honest, there have been times where kids don't necessarily exhibit that, and it's not their fault. It's just the nature of travel baseball, mm-hmm, has them switching jerseys so often that it, you know, it's baseball to them. It's not necessarily super important to them that it's their school's baseball team because they play all over the place,
yeah,
and they play, you know, some of them 8 months a year. So if we could get back to kids playing for their, you know, their town for several years, I think it would kind of reinstill some of that pride that comes with, you know, playing for the town that you grew up in. But most of these guys got their start in Maumee Little League,
yeah,
and you know, I think that they, you know, at the end of the day, they're pretty proud to play for Maumee High School.
It's interesting that you take that you say that. I never thought about it quite that way, because one thing I always say with high school athletics is that the good varsity teams aren't built when the kids get to high school. There has to be a buy-in from these kids in middle school and younger to say, when I grow up, I'm going to be a Maumee Panther. I think we saw it with the football team where some of these kids would come up and they get to Gateway, and once they left Gateway, they're going to St. John's, they're going to this, they're going to that. Didn't see that with baseball, because these kids maybe are built in that, hey, I'm going to be a Maumee Panther. I'm going to play for the name on front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, we and it goes back to, you know, things like the youth clinic, to you know, having that opportunity to be able to make connections with those kids when they're in first, second, third grade, so they see it and they know about it and they get excited to think at one, you know, one day I'm going to be able to do the same thing. So
yeah,
it's so important to build those connections anymore, because we do have to an extent, you know, try to recruit our own kids at,
sure,
times. You know, since we've had some more success athletically over the last couple of years, certainly the league switch helped with that. You don't have to do it as much to have kids that are in our building come out for those sports, but you certainly have to, you know, make sure that they feel valued, that they feel important, because if they go on a visit to a place like St. John's or, you know, one of the other schools, right, they're gonna see a different experience, and you got to trust that we've built the groundwork to those relationships, and they know that we can put them in a situation to be successful and meet their needs here. And I think that's just a really important part of, you know, what we do. It's maybe an afterthought to some, but we certainly have to work at it.
For sure.
We're extremely lucky to have the Pride of the Panthers helping us make memories for our students. There aren't many communities or schools who have a group of talented photographers at almost all of our kids' events and games. You can follow them on Facebook by searching Pride of the Panthers.
You mentioned the league change there. We're now a year into this. You've gone a full year as a member of the NBC. How has that change been from the NLL to the NBC? How has it benefited us? Have there been any detriments to it? Now a year into it, what is your take on us being in the NBC?
I'll start with the negatives, just because that was the last thing I heard you really say, and something jumps into my mind right away is some of these schools don't have. Most of them don't have three baseball programs, right? None of the schools in the NBC have a freshman baseball program.
Right.
So we have to, be creative with how we schedule. Thankfully, the other area, bigger schools, right? We go back and we schedule with a lot of NLL schools,
sure,
because we know that they have those. But this year we've seen, and even I think maybe last year, a couple teams didn't have a JV baseball team even.
Wow.
So, yeah, Rossford doesn't have a JV program this year. So that's certainly a negative, is that, our freshmen and our lower levels aren't necessarily getting the same schedule, and they're not getting to compete against league schools across the board because they don't have the numbers to facilitate it.
Right.
But I would say that there's a lot more positive that's come along with that. The winning is great, but it's the reality that our kids know that they don't have to be perfect to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're certainly going to do our best to, work on, the fundamentals and to not give games away, but we don't have to be our absolute best version of us to be able to compete. And it takes some pressure off of the kids,
sure,
for sure. Cam and I would talk about it, going back years ago, that our best baseball teams were going to, finish third, fourth place in the NLL because there was so much talent there. Now our best baseball teams are going to be able to win league titles.
Yeah.
We saw that last year. We were a game from being, co-champs with Lake.
Yeah.
From a competitive standpoint, these kids know that they can go out and have opportunities to win. And, that's a big motivator for athletes, right? Nobody wants to go through,
yep,
seasons of, loss after loss. So
yeah,
that's a pretty good incentive to know that we have a shot. And, it's nothing to say that, there aren't great teams in this league, because there really are. In every single sport, from what I've seen, there are programs that are going to give our kids a run for their money. But we have a chance. We're in the ball game, and I think that's a big motivator, and that's been a really positive boost for our athletes.
I brought it up in the conversation with Coach Jones. My daughter played basketball here. She played other sports. Basketball is her big sport. And I remember going to some of those games against Anthony Wayne, against Perrysburg, and outwardly I'm telling her, if you don't think you can win, why are you going to play the game? Like, you've got to believe you can win this game. But on the inside, I'm like, oh my, can we keep this within 40? Can we keep it within 50? So again, just knowing that we have a chance. And there's no perfect game. I mean, there are perfect games, but nobody's going to play a perfect game 27 times a year to give yourself a chance to win every game. So that is a lot of pressure off the kids. And it does create a better environment because they know, hey, we got a chance.
Yeah, and it was tough for coaches.
Yeah.
Having to sell something,
mm-hmm,
that, inwardly you knew – it's a tough sell,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When you see Anthony Wayne's football team warm up and there's 80 of them, and our kids didn't look like that, and there,
yeah,
weren't enough of them, but you're trying to get them positive and have that right mindset. It was a challenge, and now we don't have to fight that fight, but we still have to have high expectations because you know we had a bad baseball game at Rossford last year, and it ultimately that cost us a league title. And I said it when it happened. I knew that was probably going to come back and bite us. You still have to show up and you have to play a good version because these teams aren't pushovers.
No.
There's a lot of really quality baseball programs, and even the ones that maybe aren't perennial powerhouses, right, on the right day with the right pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to get the job done, and it's not an easy thing to do, you know, 14 times in league play. So you got to bring your best as much as possible if you want to have a chance in the end.
So the NBC, I mean, every sport you can say Eastwood, Oak Harbor. I mean, it just seems like every darn sport they're up there. Baseball though, you bring Lake into the mix. There's other teams into the mix. You know, Lake, didn't they finish? They finished runner up in the state last year.
Yeah, they lost in the state finals last year.
So for you guys to finish right behind them in the league says a lot. Talk a little bit about that competitiveness, because again, I sound like a broken record when I say this, but it is very true. We didn't move from the NLL to go to an easier league. We went to a league where we could be more competitive. They're still really great teams. So what are the teams that we're looking at this year in the NBC? Is it still Lake, Oak Harbor, Eastwood?
Yeah, those are I would be surprised when the Blade poll comes out probably next week or 2 weeks from now that if those three teams weren't the you know favorites.
Right.
Lake brings back a lot from a team that obviously was very, very successful last year.
Yeah.
And as you said, right, I mean, it wasn't us just rolling into a much easier situation because Lake could compete with just about anybody that you put in front of them, and they're going to be very strong again this year. I expect Oak Harbor to, you know, a couple of their better players are back. I think they graduated only three guys. They're very well coached. They're going to be a worthy adversary. And then Eastwood is always, you know, Coach Leedy has done a really nice job with that program. They're perennially state ranked. They you know, have a system in place, and they have, you know, continued success that those kids go out there and they expect to win. And, you know, it's not an easy one, that's for sure. And I would be surprised if, you know, those three teams weren't in the mix when it came down to it this year. And we're just trying to get our guys ready to go out and be able to compete with them and show that, you know, we belong in that conversation.
Absolutely. Does it help you guys playing against those teams like Lake, like Eastwood when it comes to tournament time? Because you faced really good pitchers, you faced really good teams, you've been in those pressure situations.
Yeah, it certainly can. I think maybe this last year was a bit of a feeling out period for those schools regarding us, right?
Okay.
Like what to expect from Maumee in this league. And, you know, when I say that I look at our pitching matchups in advance and try to throw our best pitchers against teams that we really want to beat if we're going to have a chance in the end, they now have to do the same for us, right? We beat Eastwood twice last year, and I know Kevin's a competitive guy, and I expect that we're going to see their best at some point this year.
Yeah.
And maybe that wouldn't have been the case last year.
Okay.
You know, some of them, we had played Lake annually.
Yeah.
We had played Eastwood pretty annually. So they knew, but, you know, how deep is Maumee going to be?
Right.
And, you know, I think last year we proved that, you know, we had enough depth to be able to be taken seriously. So, you know, we ended up seeing a guy like Drew Tablick from Lake the second time we played him, right? He was their best, and they threw him against us because they knew that that game was important. So I imagine that, you know, that'll factor in some more now that some of these, you know, these league schools know that we are competitive, that, you know, they got to take us seriously. So we'll probably see some better arms than, you know, maybe we would have last year. So it's hard to say, but I think that's a big part of something that gets taken into consideration.
It's a big difference going from playing a team once a year as a non-league opponent where, yeah, it means something, obviously, but it doesn't mean anything towards the league. Now you're playing these teams twice. It means a lot towards, I mean, it means everything towards the league championship. So there that is, facing Lake as a non-league opponent to facing them as a league opponent, it's completely different.
Yeah, night and day difference. And, you know, we play them twice now, and I know that there are some leagues that they only play their league teams one time in baseball. NWOAL is that way.
Okay.
But, yeah, you obviously want to give your best every single time you go out, but you're throwing a non-league guy versus a league starter. Yeah. And, you know, depending on the situation, you know, we might have our number five guy throwing and they might have their number four throwing, and it's going to look different, right? Yeah. And that's why baseball, you know, one of the old sayings is it always comes down to the starting pitching on that day as to what the matchup looks like. And, you know, conversely, you know, we get to play Perrysburg still, and that's a game that I'll always value. I'll always schedule them as long as Coach Hall's there and wants to play with us. You know, last year they were able to we scheduled them on their bye week for the NLL.
Okay.
So to show that they had respect for us, they threw their one or two against us, but it was we still had three league games that week, so we're throwing our four or five.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we've played two really competitive games with them over the last, I think our last two, we lost both one-run games against them. Actually, our last three games, going back to our last season in the NLL. But, yeah, it's a matchups thing, and, yeah, and it's a schedule thing, right? How many games have you played this week, or do you have this week, and what arms are you going to see? It's kind of a circus, but, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's going to see somebody else's best here and there, and, you know, that's why we play them, because you can't take things for granted, and we don't, you know, they don't decide on paper.
Go off script here a little bit. A couple questions that just jumped up through our conversation. You've brought up Cam a couple times. How valuable is it having a guy like him as your athletic director that's been in your shoes, that's coached where you've coached, that's, you know, been there?
Yeah, it's a huge bonus for us that he is a baseball guy, and not just a baseball guy. He was, you know, the head coach here for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
He understands the, you know, the things that the program has to go through, and he's got I imagine, you know, he's got a soft spot for, you know, for this baseball program in general. So it's good to have somebody like that in your corner. You know, other athletic directors that maybe haven't had that experience with it, maybe it's just another sport, right?
Sure.
And they're important, but yeah, to have been through it, mm-hmm, to the extent that he had, is certainly an advantage for us. He's doing whatever he can to try to make sure that we have what we need to be successful, facility upgrades, you know, support with just anything that we really need. And he's a mentor to me, so to have that in the building is you know, extremely valuable for not just me, but our program in general.
For sure. And the other part I wanted to make sure to mention is those facility upgrades. The new scoreboard, new windscreen, new dugouts. With those improvements that you can make and have been made, can you talk about those improvements and maybe the pride that you guys take in what you do have?
Yeah, and that's something that we have to sell to our kids too, because it's, I get it. You look at it on the surface, it's not what other schools have.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a permanent fence to keep dogs off of our baseball field. But it's what we have.
Yeah.
So we have to take care of it, right? You know, I tell these guys, you know, eventually you're going to buy your first house, and that's probably not the house that you're going to be in your entire life, but you're going to have pride in it because it's yours and you, yeah, earned it. And they've earned the opportunity to play here. So let's do as much as we can to keep this looking as nice as possible. And that means, you know, putting in some work on it. And it means fundraising to add to it, to make it as good as we possibly can. It's not a perfect situation because of space limitations, but it doesn't mean that we can't, you know, put love and effort into trying to maintain it and make it as best as we possibly can. So, you know, the new windscreen, the scoreboard, the dugouts are painted. You know, hopefully by next year we'll have a more permanent backstop padding. You know, there's other things that I would like to be able to do to just make it a little nicer, right? I'd,
yeah,
love to have a permanent outdoor hitting cage. So that's something that's possibly in the works. And there are things that we can do to continually put back into it because, right, it's ours. And we need to be proud of that.
Yeah. All right. So last question here. We'll wrap everything up in this big, nice bow. What are your hopes and expectations for this season? What can fans, what can the community expect to see from Maumee Baseball this season?
You know, every the hope and the anticipation and the expectation is that every time we take the field, we do it with a tremendous amount of pride and effort. There are a lot of things that we can't control, but we're going to focus on what we can, and that's, you know, doing the little things the right way. The guys are probably sick of me here and saying it, but attention to the small details matter. You know, how you do anything is how you do everything, and focusing on just the little things, communicating the right way, sprinting off and on the field, being in the right place to back up if that's your job, cheering on your teammates, having and accepting roles, right? I mean, there's 9 guys out there in the field at a time, but we have, maybe 14, 15 in the dugout.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that those guys that are on the bench in the dugout don't bring something to the program, and it's just making sure that we stick to those, those values, and we're going to work really hard, and we're going to control what we can control, and we're going to try to play really fundamentally sound baseball. Here's hoping we, get some breaks here and there, and that, when it's all said and done, we win more than we lose. It's hard for me to say. We try not to set win goals. It's all, more process goals. Everybody wants to win a league title. Everybody wants to win a sectional or a district title. So we don't really talk about that. We talk about how we can get there. And next Saturday, we're going to come in and have our goal setting meeting that we do every year and emphasize what can we do. We all know that we want to win, but how can we win? And it's focusing on those things, the small details, and being in each other's corner at the end of the day is such a big part of this. You mentioned it earlier. It's about the name on the front, not the one on the back, and building camaraderie and knowing that we're in this together. And it's a pretty special opportunity because eventually it's your last time to do it, and nobody knows when that's going to happen. But eventually, and I can't remember the movie, but we get told that we can't play this game anymore. So you try to remind that to these kids that you only get to do this for so long. So enjoy it, do it together, and do it with as much pride and effort as you can. And hopefully, if we're able to do that, then we win some baseball games along the way.
Couldn't have wrapped it up any better if I tried myself. So perfect answer. Thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate your time. I know it's going to be a great season, and I hope everybody gets out and supports the program and catches a game or a couple games.
Yeah, we'd love to see the community out there. And, Jeremy, thank you again for what you do and giving our exposure to our athletes and making their accomplishments accessible to their families and the community as well.
Well, thank you.
Yep, appreciate you.
That's the end of this episode of Inside Maumee Athletics. I'll be back soon with another in-depth interview. Good luck to the Panthers baseball team as they start their season next week. Make sure you take the time this spring to get out to a game and support the Maumee baseball team. We're very lucky to have our supporters, the Maumee Athletic Boosters, the Mirror newspaper, and Pride of the Panthers photographers. If you'd like to contact the podcast, email us at insidemaumeeathletics@gmail.com. You can find us online at our website, InsideMaumeeAthletics.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Inside Maumee Athletics on Facebook. Until next time, thanks for listening.